When I was in high school, I remember in my English literature class, a classic book that really inspired my own faith, and I don't know if they still allow students to read it, but it was John Bunyan's 17th century allegory, Pilgrim's Progress. And Pilgrim's Progress was this allegory that actually he wrote from prison, was an allegory that had, if you've never read it before, was Christian. Christian was the man that was on a journey, this epic journey. And through the course of this journey, he met some people, but essentially he was alone in his journey. But Christian had to, at one point in his journey, he had to ascend this mountain, and there was no easy pass. It was a mountain, the mountain of God. And I remember that image, even from those many years ago, more years than I care to try and calculate now. I think it's close to 40. But be that as it may, as we have come to the end of pre-Lent, as we are embarking upon this week the season of Great Lent, we do so from really the liturgically speaking, from the foot of the mountain of God. What is before us is the ascent to the mountain of God. And I believe that that's the theme that is set before us in the readings this morning, that we look at both the gospel and really the epistle reading and some of the other readings, this idea of pilgrimage, of an ascent to the mountain of God. And we find this first in our gospel lesson this morning. Jesus is with his disciples, the 12 disciples. This is the 18th chapter of the book of St. Luke. But before they begin their ascent to Jerusalem, Jesus makes a prophetic statement to his disciples. In verse 31, he says, "Behold, we are going up to Jerusalem. We are going up to Jerusalem, and all things that are written by the prophets concerning the Son of Man will be accomplished. For he will be delivered to the Gentiles and will be mocked and insulted and spit upon. They will scourge him and kill him." Now, Jesus was not mincing any words here. He wasn't speaking in riddles. This was very clear language that he was speaking to his disciples. But he goes on, he says, "And the third day he will rise again." And in verse 34, it's interesting in that St. Luke says, "But they understood none of these things." There was a blindness, a spiritual blindness, an unwillingness to process what was spoken, audibly spoken, clearly conveyed. They didn't get it. They didn't receive it. And this blindness of the disciples was their place at the start of this ascent. And of course, we know that these men in journeying with the Lord up to Jerusalem, they would experience the same traumas, the same kinds of pain, emotionally at least. They would suffer the death, the scourging and the death of their Lord, at least at a distance. They would feel the pain of loss. And of course, we know that these men, their eyes would eventually be opened. But it's interesting that St. Luke places this just ahead of blind Bartimaeus, the story of blind Bartimaeus, because as they are preparing to go up to Jerusalem, they are traveling through the town of Jericho. Now, I've spoken about this before, that very often that during pilgrimages from the area of Galilee, the Jews, the faithful Jews, the pious Jews would not travel down through what is now the West Bank because that was Samaritan territory. They would rather travel to the east of the Jordan River and come all the way down, and then they would cut across just to the north of the Dead Sea and go through the town of Jericho and begin their ascent up. And here they are coming into this town of Jericho in this pilgrimage to Jerusalem, the mountain of God. And it says, and he was coming near, this is verse 35, coming near Jericho, that a certain blind man sat by the road begging. We know from the other gospels that his name was Bartimaeus. And hearing a multitude passing by, he asked what it meant. So they told him that Jesus of Nazareth was passing by, and he cried out, saying, Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Here was a blind man. Here was a blind man in contrast and really almost juxtaposition to the disciples. Here was a blind man who physically had no sight, and yet he had the eyes of faith. He had the eyes of the heart that were open. He said, Jesus, Son of David. This was a title of Messiah. Essentially, he was calling him Jesus the Christ, Jesus the Messiah, my Savior. Have mercy on me. His prayer, the prayer of Bartimaeus, is one of abject humility, of need. There's no pretense here. He understands his need. He can't see. He's been a beggar all of his life, not knowing for sure where he's going to receive his next meal. And there by the side of the road, our Lord encounters him. And Jesus stops. Jesus stops and asks him, what do you want from me? Essentially. And Bartimaeus said, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And Jesus, verse 42, says, receive your sight. Your faith has made you well. You see, there was a faith, there was a seed of faith that was already there, that began to obviously grow, and such that there was a healing not only of his eyes, of his physical malady, but there began for Bartimaeus a healing of his soul. And immediately it says, he received his sight and followed him. See, Bartimaeus didn't remain in Jericho, but rather joined himself in this ascent to the mountain of God. One of the other things I've talked about with regard to this, the geography here, that I think is very intentional that St. Luke uses in creating this picture of going from Jericho to Jerusalem, is that Jericho sits at the lowest point on the face of the earth. It sits just north of the Dead Sea. It is hundreds of feet below sea level. Hundreds of feet below sea level. And Jerusalem, by contrast, is hundreds of feet above sea level. It is one of the highest points in all of Israel. Jericho represents the depths. It represents a certain Sheol in the Hebrew, the depths, Hades. It represents the brokenness of our world. And there, as Jesus was passing through the world, as Jesus was ascending, getting ready, preparing to make the ascent to the mountain of God, he encounters these broken people, Bartimaeus. But then if you read on in chapter 19, you know that he also encounters Zacchaeus, another broken man, a man who had stolen as a tax collector, but a man who would become a follower also of our Lord. But you see, the picture here that is created is one of our Lord, the incarnate God, the Messiah, coming through the world on pilgrimage, on journey, joined by his disciples, joined by those who have been healed by him, have been touched by him, those who that did not have to be told, but that in their heart desired to follow, to make that journey, that difficult journey, that ascent, that steep, arduous ascent to the mountain of God. The psalmist says in Psalm 30, out of the depths, out of the depths I've cried to thee, O Lord, hear my prayer. This essentially is the prayer of Bartimaeus. Out of the depths, out of the depths, out of the depths of the world, out of the depths of the world with the values that are contrary to the values of faith, out of the depths of our own brokenness, out of the depths of our blindness, out of the depths of our lack of faith and discipline, out of the depths I've cried to thee, O Lord. Lord, hear my prayer. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. This is the place that we have been, where we have been situated as we embark upon this journey, this great pilgrimage of Great Lent, to be confronted with where we are, liturgically, but also where we are in terms of our actual place. You see, the church is a church that is mobilized. It is moving. It's on pilgrimage through this earth. It is Jesus Christ in the church that is on the move. And yet there are oftentimes, even within the faith, there are those of us who have, in coming into the faith, we've set up base camp in Jericho. We've set up base camp. We think that we've come into the faith. We've received our sight. Thank God. He revealed to us through the Holy Spirit the truth of his church. But we often fail to pull up stakes and to go where Christ has called us. And that is in the ascent to the mountain of God. We would rather have a fortress-like mentality. We find ourselves in a static condition of faith. If we begin to take inventory of our lives, which is what we are called to do during Lent, we find out that we in many ways have blown it. We have failed to study the Word of God. We have failed to pray. We have failed to fast when we should. We have failed to love our neighbors as ourselves. And we realize that in those ways, we're still in Jericho. We still are anxious about the things of this life. We still are unforgiving and angry at others. And we recognize that we have remained in this world. But as we are postured to travel through Jericho to the mountain of God, Christ calls us. Christ calls us to journey with him. You see, I think that the Protestant influence of Pilgrim's Progress is this, that while Christian is on an individual journey, it is a journey, certainly, that for all of us, that is an individual journey. We are not saved corporately, but individually. We encounter Christ in an individual way. We have our own struggles in an individual way, but it is not individualistic. The difference here is that it is Christ, that Christ himself is with us. It is our journey's apostolic. The picture of Christ passing through Jericho, that is passing through the world, is then joined by his disciples who would become his apostles. They together would journey upwards. They would face the struggles, the persecutions. They would face the scorn and the rejection. And yes, they would even face death. They were joined to our Lord. The journey is apostolic. You see, it's in community. This community that we call church, the new Israel, the new Jerusalem. And every Sunday, liturgically, we practice, we rehearse. And not just rehearse, we enter into this reality. You see, there at the foot of the altar are the priest and the sacred ministers. And we recite the prayers of repentance, the prayer of acknowledging our own need on behalf of each of you. And we recite the psalm, I will go up to thine altar. I will, from Psalm, let me pull that up. I believe it's from Psalm 43. This is as we have come here, as the sacred ministers have joined together and at the foot of the altar, it is acknowledging that we have journeyed through the world, through the week, through the values of this world, through the concerns of this world. And then we recite this verse from Psalm 43, verse 3. Oh, send out your light and your truth and lead me. Let me come to thy holy hill and to thy temple, thy tabernacle. And then the priest ascends the altar. Physically ascends the altar, the mountain of God. That ascent is on behalf of all of us. From the place of brokenness and need at the foot of the altar in our humility, recognizing our own sins and transgressions, recognizing our own shortcomings for our failures and negligences. And we together ascend with the priest being representative of Christ himself, going with us. We together as the church journey to the mountain of God. And this is where we are. At the end of pre-Lent, as we begin Lent, that in our brokenness and our humility, we get real about where we are. We get real in saying we become lazy. We become negligent in our faith. We become indifferent to our brothers and sisters and those outside of the church. We have failed to love others. For some of us, if our attendance, for instance, at Mass were an indication or were consistent with how our attendance at work, a lot of us probably wouldn't be employed. I realize there are reasons why you can't be here, but there are other issues. How it is that we study and continue to grow. Now, we can get all down on ourselves and think, you know, I keep falling into the same sins. I keep struggling with the same struggles. But as I like to tell a lot of catechumens, the Lord is really looking at the big picture in terms of our overall trend. It's kind of like the stock market. There can be particular days or particular weeks that we just have a bad day, that we have a bad week. But you see, the stock market is really about the long term. Are we farther along? Are we farther up the hill, the mountain, than we were a year ago, 5 years ago? Or are we stuck in the base camp at Jericho? You see, the church is not a fortress. It's always been a church on the move. It's always been a dynamic reality. It's actually the world. It's actually the dominion of Satan that is the fortress. That's why Jesus, he said to his disciples, and when he talked about holding Peter having the keys of the kingdom, And he said, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against her, against the church. You see, the church is not a defensive fortress, but rather it is an army. It is an offensive army on the move through this world, breaking down those the very gates of hell, opening up God's truth and the hope and the joy of his promises. When closing out, I want to just mention, because I said our readings today really are consistent in this theme of the ascent to the mountain of God. And today is the epistle lesson from 1 Corinthians, St. Paul's epistle to first epistle to the Corinthians. The 13th chapter is often referred to as the love chapter, and it's often read at weddings. But I want you to just hear one thing. In verse 11, as he closes out, he said, "When I was a child, I spoke as a child. I understood as a child." St. Paul's saying, there was a time when I was a baby Christian, when I was just coming out of Jericho. He said, I was a child. I spoke as a child. I understood as a child. But when I became a man, that is when there was growth in Christ, as he studied and became an approved workman for our Lord, as he endured the trials of this life and the rejection and even death, he became a man. And he said, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Do you see the imagery here? That going from childhood spiritually to manhood, going from a dim, foggy mirror where we can just barely see, to then encountering the reality of God's truth, the reality of the Word himself, face to face, through this ascent, through this growth. And he says, and now abide faith, hope, love, these three, but the greatest of these is love. You see, I believe that what St. Paul is talking about, that just as Jesus said to blind Bartimaeus, your faith has made you well. He is saying that faith, that place of acknowledging our own need, of asking the Lord for his divine grace, is the starting point. In our place of repentance and contrition and humility, there is where faith begins. But he said, faith, hope. Faith leads us into the hope of the promises of Christ. The promise that he would, while suffering death, be resurrected again. Hope leading to love. For God is love. You see, we can't love. We can't love if we have not encountered love. That is God in a very real way. And we can't love if we've lost all hope. And if we've lost our hope, then we really have no faith. We can have a said faith, but we may still be stuck at base camp in Jericho. As I close, I wanted to just share with you, I think, a beautiful thing that happened to me yesterday that really illustrates in a very beautiful way this reality. I'd left the house late yesterday afternoon to head up to Harrisburg Hospital to see Rick Anderson, who, as we know, had bypass surgery, quadruple bypass surgery, on Thursday. And as I left the house, most of the storm had passed, and I waited around for that moment. And as I started up Paynes Hill, just north of Thurmont, up towards Emmitsburg, there was one of the most beautiful rainbows I've ever seen off to the north. It went from earth to earth, a perfect arc, right you know, appeared a few miles in front of me. And I've seen rainbows that beautiful before, but something absolutely fantastic happened, and that is, as I continued to drive, it was as though the rainbow kept moving closer and closer to me until it was literally over top of me, and I could literally see the sides of the rainbow on that side of 15 and over here on the shoulder as I traveled along. Now, there's, you know, obviously a physical reason for why that happened, but I've never experienced the ability to actually travel into a rainbow. And you know what? The rainbow traveled with me as I continued to travel along. That rainbow, as being symbolic, as an image of God's covenant, of God's promises, I believe is a picture of saying, we are a church on the move. We are a church who have been joined together in a common faith, but we are propelled by a hope in the promises of God, and the hope in the promises of Christ, that while we will suffer, that while we will continue this arduous ascent to the mountain of God, that none other than God Himself is with us. For Jesus, one of the last things He said is, for lo, I am with you always, even unto the ends of the earth. This is our hope. This is our joy. As even as we abide the rigors of this great Lent, even as we abide the trials of this life in our journey through Jericho, as we ascend to the mountain of God, let us be glad. Let us rejoice that love abides in the ascent to the mountain of God. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.